Yes, I hope you've come for a blessing. I have. And tonight we're dealing with the Lord appointing 70 appointees or spokesmen for him as he goes to Jerusalem, going through the cities. He appointed these 70 to go and prepare as he came to these towns. Now, you think of this, the Lord has had great crowds. And so, as he anticipated to go to Jerusalem to die, he wanted to contact these towns and cities on his way. And so he appointed these 70 people, 70 men. Let's sing some missionary hymns. Take that one of we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus Saves, number 370. Now we usually sing this when missionaries come by, and I think it'd be good if we'd sing it tonight. 383 from Greenland's icy mountains, from India's coral strand. 383.
Yeah.
1, page 382. Speed thy servants, Savior, speed them. I believe we know the tune of this, and let's sing some of it. Maybe we won't sing the whole thing. 382. Let's turn to Gospel of Luke, and chapter 10, Luke chapter 10. You know, we're continuing on here. We were in the last section of the ninth chapter of these three applicants that were not chosen. But I thought, well, chapter 10 has 70 that's been chosen. So let's stand as I read the first 9 verses. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. This is God's word. Let's now have prayer. Indeed, our Father, it's a privilege that we can meet together and study your precious word, sing these hymns about the need for missionaries, and go forth with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We pray you'd still instill in our hearts to see there is that still the command that there needs to go forth, even in our own community and then throughout all the area, throughout all the world. And so place upon us tonight the urgency of this matter as we learn from your precious word and speak to our hearts, for we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So, thank you. So, 70 are appointed, and spokesmen to go before the Lord. There are principles of evangelism I think that you and I can well review, if nothing else, but I think there's areas in here that you and I perhaps need to look at a little more closely. Theologically, it seems to be loaded. As far as I'm concerned, it's not real elementary. However, it does have to do with an area that most of you and I, well, I can speak for myself. Back where I worked on the farm, we didn't have combines. We had a grain binder. And so that ages me, but this grain binder would cut and the wheat and then make sheaves and then throw them out to the side, and we'd have to pick them up and put them in a group with a kind of a spread out sheaf on top. Dorothy. She's a farm girl, she knows. Peggy, you didn't have that, did you? You had binders. Well, we never got a combine when we had binders, but I want to tell you something. It was hard work. My boss, he was good, and he had his daughter and their two children come and help with that work on those hot days. So we could have used more help. And here we have a situation where there's in these verses about the Lord of Harvest. So already there's been 12 chosen apostles, and now we're in it for a second generation kind of a situation, and he now chooses 70 more. And he goes on to say that he appointed these 70 in verse 1, and then he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Now, how is he going to do this? Going to send them out by twos. Why do you want to send them out by twos? Well, that's for mutual help. Yes. Yes. And for a witness, to have at least two for a witness. These were pioneer workers, spokesmen. Now, if you turn to the book of Psalms, and then you have Proverbs, you have a book of called Ecclesiastes. Uh-huh. And I want you to go to the fourth chapter of that book and look at something about the matter of by twos. I was impressed as cross reference. I was impressed with this fourth chapter, a few verses there in Ecclesiastes. All right. I'll start to read here in the fourth chapter, verse 9 through 12. Listen to this now. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be a warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. I just think that that's so clever. The Lord put that in there, and go out by twos. And here's we have a cross-reference to Ecclesiastes, and it says, tell you why it is. It is for mutual help and for safety. I just couldn't get over how nice that it sounds. You know, in my experience has been, in the years that I have been pastor, I've gone out by myself for the most part. I took precautions such as never take my coat off, usually stand at the door, talked. But going out by twos, I can see, is valuable. I plan to go out, the Lord willing, in this area, and I could use some help if somebody wanted to go along. Even as it says here, the Lord did this. I'm saying to you, there are some theological areas that we may look at. You say, well, I know the Mormons do that and the Jehovah Witness do that, preacher. That's nothing new. Well, who said that they were stupid about things like that? It makes some sense. So let's take the Bible as it is, and we're talking about principles of evangelism. And say, well, I already know that. Well, that's fine. And let it be gelled in our hearts then. And so then we come to this second verse, and it says, here's the plan. What's the plan, Lord? He says in the second verse of Luke 10, therefore said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. What's the plan? Who's the owner of this harvest? It's the Lord of harvest. Oh, the Lord's the owner. Oh, he owns the harvest. Yep. So what about? Well, you pray to the Lord, and you beg him, say, Lord, please, we need more workers. There's a lot of folk in this world, and we need laborers. We usually, when we think about missions, we usually pray for missionaries, and that's good. And we'll pray that the Lord will save souls, and that's good. But do we do verse 2? What? God's plan is, he says, I have a harvest field. It belongs to me. And I'm saying it's plentiful. And and he said, if you'll beg of me and you pray up to me, send forth laborers. He said, I will. I'm giving you example of 70 right now. So when you're praying tonight, maybe you might pray that the Lord send forth laborers for the harvest that is in this area. So where is this harvest? I don't know. I know it's here, though. There are people. The Lord has, I believe, he has his remnant around, and I don't know that we're reaching them. So I think you need to pray. But in Jesus' day, they had this situation, which I think you need to understand. They'd have little groups of people. Take the Pharisees. Here they come. Watch these guys. See them coming? They come in a group. Look at them. Spit and shine. They have their clericals on. They have their long robes on. And they're all prepared. They don't go house to house and accept hospitality. They have their own purse. They have their own food. It has to be make sure that it's clean, ceremonially clean, purity, and they have their groups. Groups like that. And so here the Lord has put up a group now, and he's going to send them forth. And you notice how he sends them in verse 4. They don't have a purse, nor a script, nor shoes, and are told, salute no man by the way. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. But at the moment, I want to look at these lambs in verse 3. It says, go your ways. It means go. Don't sit at home. Be solitary. Well, I just believe in the sovereign purpose of God. I don't go forth. Yeah. You're going to answer for that is all of us. The human responsibility is to go. The Great Commission is to go. Go and tell. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. No thanks. I've raised the lambs in here and sheep in years gone by. They're a very fearful animal. And they're weak. Now, Lord, we go forth as lambs? Uh-uh. I'm going to carry my 38. Now he said, no. See, now there, you have your ideas. I'm telling you, God speaking. All right, I'll listen, but I don't, I haven't seen wolves, that is, visibly, but I've watched National Geographic enough to know that when they're furious and they're a powerful animal, they're bloodthirsty. And he's saying, that's where I'm going to send you, is to situations like where like the folk can be like wolves. Oh, no. No. Well, he said, now, I did tell you another place that my people are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, he said, I'm telling you, you're like lambs to go amongst the wolves. Among the wolves. Hmm. Well, I'm going to need some help, Lord. That's just fine. I have a great shepherd. Do you? Yeah, I have a great shepherd. And he's powerful. A dangerous situation? Now you say, oh, no, here we go again. I don't see anybody getting killed around this area of the country for the Christ testimony. Here you go. That's the way it is in all the rest of the world, isn't it? Nobody's getting killed. Nobody's making any kind of a... Nobody's in a situation where it's precarious. The Muslims, they love us all. You know, the gospel's just going fine all over the world. You don't know what you're talking about, preacher. And you don't know what you're talking about if you think everything's the same as it is in here in our country. He said, in reality, it's like this. Go. Go your ways. You go to that place, you go to that place. I send you forth as lambs among wolves, but I will protect you. I'll go with you as the shepherd. Boy, I'm a little, hope you're encouraged by that. God is a God of omnipotence, all-powerful. If he's your God through Jesus Christ, then you don't have to worry about these wolves. Did you know Mark, or Dr. Luke here, from what we can understand, he died a martyr's death. Who? Dr. Luke, Luke's gospel? Mm-hmm. See, it says the servant is not above his master. I don't particularly enjoy doing this, Lord. I thought we'd have some nice, smooth things here. He said, I'm telling you the way it is. Just be thankful that you're not experiencing what they are in some other sections of the country. Now then, let's look at that verse 4, where we're instructed not to carry a purse, nor a script, nor shoes, or salute no man by the way. Sounds something like a little urgency here. Don't be carrying a suitcase. Don't be carrying all your records. Urgency. No shoes. Don't be carrying extra shoes. Take only peace, where verse 5 says, and into whatsoever house ye enter, first say peace. Peace be to this house. Take peace. Man, it's easy to waste time. That verse 4 has to do with urgency. And you know what? You know what it is to goof off? And I'm going to talk spiritually. There's no retirement spiritually. You may have retirement as far as from your work. But spiritually, I don't find the Bible teaches us to be retired spiritually. Look at this verse. Theologically, he said, do something about it. You're still living. You got your things to do. But now, wait a minute. Is it a waste of time to listen to the Lord in spite of what your plans are? Is to go and go, go. And things aren't more important than the gospel, are they? Did you answer that question? Are things more important than the gospel? Well, I wonder sometimes about us. In light of eternity, what you're doing as a Christian even, is it more important than getting the gospel out? Well, that's for the preacher. I'm sorry, but if you read the Bible that way, you don't know what you're reading. That's for all of us who love the Lord Jesus. How are you going to do it? Well, have an urgency. You can be smart as to how to buy things. And by the right thing, can't we be smart about getting the Word of God out individually and collectively? You say, well, we're trying, preacher. All right. All right. I was shocked. The Armed Services said that cyber schools, graduates, they grade them as with an F. Not fair. I'm telling you straight from the news of last week. Say, well, hey, you get the same curriculum as the regular school. But they said, they look at it and they only hire so many cyber school graduates in the armed service. Now, when in my day, we had the draft. Didn't care what school you went to, they just drafted you. What I'm saying is, what kind of a grade you're going to give us? I look at this passage and say, nah, this is not up to date. It's the Word of God. And he's saying about there are some principles of evangelism that still stand. And the idea of verse 4, I don't know that you take it literally. I don't take it particularly. But I think it says urgency is go, go, go. And it's also mentioned here about the need to, and not to use a waste of time by chit-chatting. That's what that really means in verse for they're saluting no man by the way. They had a way, they're Easterners, they call that area Easterners. They had a way of when they greeted each other, they would kiss each other and ask questions. Or they'd be bobbing their heads like chickens. And it was true. Easterners do this. And they'd ask questions, how this, how's that, how's this, how's that, how's this, how's that. You know, that can take a lot of time. You know, what do you think about the nominees? What do you think about the weather? What do you think about the economy? What do you think about this? And what do you about this? And what do you think the town officials are going to do about this? Woo! He said, don't be looking to talk like that. He said, there's an urgency here. People die. Read the obituary. There's some theological depths there, I believe, and some principles that are to be carried out by us. Not for somebody and not here tonight. I just read from my college paper, a magazine they sent out, the chaplain resigned, so what do I care? Well, what's he going to do? He went to get a business job. A man in Lewisburg had a good church in Lewisburg. He quit and he's working for Bucknell in the business department. Well, what are you saying that for? How important is verse 4 as far as the gospel of Jesus Christ? What's the greatest job on the earth? The president of the United States. No. The greatest job is going forth with the gospel. You think about that. Think closely about that. Think hard about that. The good news. Christ's death. Salvation. Forgiveness of sins. Eternal life. What a job. What a responsibility to give forth. Well, look at verse 5 and 6. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. But if not, it shall return to you again. Oh, why don't you go down to the motel? Well, they didn't have motels. Or they had inns. Yeah, they had certain inns, but not like you and I experience around. See, situations aren't quite like we are, but here's the thing. Hospitality. They opened their homes up, and they were hospitable to strangers. And if they'd see you, and they'd say, oh, yeah, there comes I heard about this Jesus, and he has great crowds. It looks like some of his folk are coming down the road. Hey, Mom, you think we can find something to give them to eat? And he'd say, yep, we can do that. We give them a place to stay, yep. Well, that's the way it was. And so they would let you know, or the in verse 5, when whatsoever house how you enter, you first say, peace be to this house. Peace be to this house. Oh, man. That's just peaceful persons. You see, I knew a young man when he was in school in Canada. He went to Nova Scotia. And he was there as a missionary for the summer. And he went out to talk about the Lord, and he'd see somebody that was doing some work, picking stones or something. He'd stop, and whatever was to be done, he'd help them. Oh, well, good for him. Now look at verse here. So the people are going to offer their house, and verse 7 says the situation in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such things that they give. Hospitality, for the laborer is worthy of his hire, go not from house to house. Well, I didn't hear anything about being hired. When somebody works for you, don't you give them some kind of money? Say, hey, I don't know, fellas, you need a place to stay? There are some things that I could use you from time to time. Could you give me a couple hours, a few hours? In fact, I'll give you a few dollars if you help me. You're kidding me. No, I'm not kidding you. And so he says, you receive their hospitality, you be a peaceful person. And I do want to say this to all of us, that verse 5 and 6, I still say we as Christians ought to have a course in etiquette, Christian courtesy. Well, I don't know. What do you mean? You mean you don't believe courtesy is taught in the Word of God? Right here it's taught. The kindness. Have you arrived there? I know I haven't. But I say, well, you know, we could do something a little theologically speaking about this. And some principles here. Maybe if we weren't such octoons, maybe if we didn't click our heels and salute and talk like we're we're the apple of God's eye in every place we go. And I and act like we know everything. No, that's not what I see here. It's a peaceful situation. Yeah, I see that. Peaceful persons, not tank drivers. I think sometimes we can be tank drivers. You speak for yourself. I'll speak for myself. But it's saying here, there ought to be some meekness. And I think one of the worst things it can be for a Christian is to be proud. I am somebody. Like those Pharisees. All spit and shine. Wear this particular clothes. Carry their own purse. I don't need any money from you, fool. I do my own thing. God says, no, that's not the way I'm going to send. I don't want my people going out like Pharisees. I want them to be kind, courteous, peaceful. That's what he's saying there. Look at it. Look at it closely. See if I have the right picture there. And he say, but listen, if they say if they're not peaceful and they're unkind to you, well, offered peace to the house, it says, leave. But if they do receive you, verse 7, how are they going to help these fellows out? Verse 7, what do you mean? He said, the Lord said, I'll arrange it in the same house to stay there, eating, drinking, such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire, go not from house to house. It's saying where they're staying. So suppose you stay down in old Farmer Jones' place. They don't even have facilities. What's he feed you? Meat and potatoes. So you meet some people downtown and say, where are you fellas staying? Well, I'm down at Jones' dump. Ah, come on. You can come to my place. Look what we have. We've got facilities for you. Just tell Jones you appreciate it. Now, come up here and stay with us, and we have food. We got all kinds of food. And whatever you want, whether it's Italian or whatever it wants, we can supply you any kind of food you want. You come up here. The Lord said, no way. You said peace to that house, and they invite you in, and you made arrangements, and he and you just eat what they feed you. Well, I tell you, that's hard for this generation. Aren't we kind of fussy as far as eating? Oh, I can't eat that. When I was at school, the kids didn't hardly eat their lunch. We had barrels and barrels of food to just throw the food in. Mom and Pop paid a dollar something back in those days, and they didn't want to eat that stuff. Throw it in. And so a teacher friend of mine said, I was allowed to take it home for the hogs. Not anymore. The EPA said, no, take another food home for the hogs. Well, now, wait a minute. You got to learn some things, too, in case you think you have all the answers. The Lord said, I don't want you doing that. If they feed you, and by the way, these were Jewish fellows. We're in a Jewish society, but there were some Gentiles. Now, what would you do? Listen, you're a Jew, and you're taught not to eat unclean things. And you had the rules of Leviticus, Numbers, and all those, what you're not to eat and what you dare eat. And so you get to a Gentile's house, and they say, oh, yeah, come on in, you're welcome. And he offers some food. That's not biblically clean. Now, Lord, you got me in a mess. No, he said, no. The time's coming. The matter of purity of food, that's all going to be removed, ceremonial laws. And the Lord saw this coming, the second generation of missionaries, so to speak. And he said, here's what you do. You eat and drink what they give you. I wish people, we could learn that. Look at David Pledger. He was when he's down in south and down in Mexico. He told from this pulpit. He said when he was preaching, and he looked down, he saw a lady that was preparing some food for after his through preaching. He looked and he said he saw entrails in that particular dish. He said I saw entrails in that particular dish, and he said after the service, he said I ate from that dish. You reach in and get from the same dish. You wouldn't have done that, would you? No, 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 my mama wouldn't let me do that. God says, listen, give thanks. Pray over the food, and you go ahead and eat that. When somebody gives you something and they put you up in hospitality, they treat you, do what you can. It's amazing what you can do if you just say, I'll do it anyway. I may not like that, but I'll do it anyway. I'll tell you what, the day may be coming that you'll be glad you listened to that verse. Verse 7, the day may be coming for you, and you may be glad for verse 7. The laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Let's talk about missionaries for a moment. They're out with the gospel, and we're looking for missionaries that plant churches. They need money. He's worthy. Give him money. Same goes with the gospel preachers. Those that feed you, you should give them, reimburse them. Hey, by the way, did you ever wonder how some of these fellows live? How do some of those missionaries do it? How do those preachers do it? Where do they get their money? It might surprise you how things go. I knew a family. They were so poor. Circumstantially, it was a situation that they got themselves into. And they ate just potato soup for days. And the husband was working, too. It wasn't a matter of laziness. Just because a person doesn't have much, don't say, well, if he is smart enough and he was wealthy, strong enough, he get a job or he gets money. And you talk like that. We're talking about these seven appointees. Those who give forth the gospel. Something to consider. It is. We live in a culture of accumulation, and we say, hey, if you can't do it, you can get Social Security assistance. What's the matter with you? You see, that's the way we've been taught. We just think that, hey, this is the way it is, and God, you don't know what you're talking about. There's a value of the gospel. What's the worth of the gospel? Answer me in your mind. What's the worth of the gospel? The good news, Christ died, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and escape hell. What's the value of a gospel? Are you really giving? They said the average person, and I know people here give more than that, but the average church person gives somewhere around 2 to 4% of their income. I said this before. I wanted to go to movies. I couldn't afford it. People go to movies, put a very small amount into things for the gospel. How are you doing that? The laborer is worthy of his hire. You don't like that? God said that. I didn't say that. But I think we need to know this. Oh, look at verse 9, 8 and 9. Into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, as eat such things that are what? Set before you. You went over that. But what about 9? Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. There we are. Heal the sick. What's your first thought? My body. Heal bodies. What about our souls? Spiritual sickness. Well, I don't think that's what it means. See there? Do you know what that really means? Heal the sick. Well, so it must mean both then. Okay, I'll go along with that. I've always liked the idea that we are spirit, soul, and body. In that category, first we deal with the spiritual, then with the solis, the intellect, the emotional, and then lastly, the physical. Today, it's everything. The preachers say, now don't forget, we're a body, soul, and spirit. I say, no, now wait a minute, preacher. It's spirit, soul, and body. Well, it does make a difference. And I said to my dentist, he said, well, you can do this and do that and so forth. And I could see the bells, the money going up, and I said, hey, doc, I'm an old man, and I don't think I should be a real expensive corpse for the worms to eat me. Oh, you didn't? Yeah. But people are putting all kinds of money in their physical, and they're going to die. The worms are going to eat them. You say, that's awful. Well, death is real. Read the newspaper. It said, listen, heal the sick. Yeah, that's important. I like John Wesley. I'm sorry if you think that being a Calvinist to say something about an Arminian, but John loved the Lord, and he had a side aspect that I appreciated. What was it? Well, he studied herbs. Now listen, we're not talking about Susquehanna health right now. We're talking back in the days where they didn't even have hardly any doctors, and John had he studied. And there are herbs that do work. Most of your medications are from herbal, some kind of mineral. And I thought that was good, John, when he'd go and give the gospel and somebody needed some help physically, he'd pray for their health. God does heal. God uses means. And he'd help them. Now you say, well, that's great. Well, there's an aspect of verse 9 here that maybe you don't know. You could help somebody, help the sick that are therein, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. These programs on TV, it's healing, healing, healing. But what about this last part of verse 9 about the kingdom of God? How about that? The kingdom of God is near, is here. And the kingdom of God involves a change. From out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his glorious light, there's a change. Like it says above my head here on the thing. He says, what happens? A change in the kingdom. That all things they become new. That's the kingdom of God. Things become changed, new. The kingdom of God is near. Sure, we want to talk about healing. Talk about it first spiritually, but also not only spiritually, but physically. Somebody has an answer, you know, a doctor that can help the situation. Why, don't hesitate, say he can handle that. Dr. Luke, we're reading one of his books right here. God gives him the word. Oh, listen, friends. We can be an influence for the Lord peacefully, kindly, and yet if they refuse it, and they turn on you like wolves, you got a shepherd to take care of you. And you just say, well, I offered peace, but he refused it. The Lord says, don't you worry about it. It shall turn to you again, the peace. I was thinking these folk were to be spokesmen for the Lord. Now, wait a minute. What? Spokesman for the Lord. He said, in verse 1, he said, listen to what I'm going to do. I want you to go, 70 of you, two by two. And by the way, some translations said 72. The Vulgate Bible. I'm not going to argue that. I'll take this as this translation. And send them out two by two into every city and place whither himself would come. He wanted there to go ahead before he would go there and prepare for his coming. And you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again, and he wants us to go as spokesmen and prepare the people for his second coming. Did you know that? How are you doing? By the way, let me ask you a question. How were you harvested? Starts out by harvesting. How were you harvested? Could you give a testimony and tell how you were harvested out in this, as it says in the Lord of Harvest? He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. God is sovereign. He's the Lord. He's the owner of the harvest. But how did it come about? What laborers talked to you about the Lord? I tell you, I had a person that was concerned about my soul. And she made a point that I'd hear the gospel. I was a church member. I didn't know the gospel. A beloved person arranged for me to go hear the gospel. How were you harvested? Have you been harvested? Are you in his kingdom? It's near. It's here. And why aren't you in the kingdom? So, stay in the kingdom of darkness and death and go to hell. That's what you want to do? No, dear friend. No. I say in all kindness and love, we have a great physician, a great Savior. He loves sinners. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. If you're lost, you need this great Savior, the King of Kings. He's the King of of peace and happiness. Well, we need to get to work and prepare for the Lord's second coming. And you know, it's true. It's the need for one-on-one. Get at it, boys. One-on-one. Get at it, folk. One-on-one. Don't depend on the preacher. Don't depend on these folk that are religious programs. They want your money, basically. One-on-one. And what you may say to the person, you say, well, I'm a nobody. So, whose ear is that anybody? In Christ, we are somebody. You know, it just may be that the Lord will just use you as you go and you say, peace. Have the Prince of Peace, the peace of all, the Lord Jesus. And tell him how to be saved, that he just may use you. And that day may come when you enter into heaven. There'll be those waiting you and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm glad you're here. You've been a blessing to me. And I'm here because you gave me the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell you, that hymn number 668, it's far and near. What is? Well, let's sing with understanding and see what's far and near. 668.
Oh, good it is to know, Lord, that
you know our hearts, and you know our thoughts, and you know whether we really do know Christ and love him and have forgiveness of sins, and we desire so much for our loved ones, families, friends, neighbors, they might know Christ personally. And we do ask tonight that you work in each of our lives. Lord, I pray especially work in our hearts individually first, and then collectively as a church, that we might be of value and you would bless us. We desire for the conversion of sinners. We also desire for those who are desirous of going forth as laborers for the Lord's harvest, and that we would have part in helping a person prepare or go. Our Father, once again, we pray for your will in all these matters. In the name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Have you any input that you would like to share with us? Maybe a thought came to you. Don't think that it may not be valuable, a thought that you may have. Have we anything to share with us, or do you have a question? Brother Rook's there, isn't he? Yeah. Let's pray for Brother Ray. He's in a spot where there are senior citizens. They do have Bible studies, and he said, I can't even handle the Bible studies. It'd be nice if he were able to have a study for the folk there. Let's pray for Brother Ray in the ministry there. Thank you for going down, folk, to see him. I was told cards were sent. Thank you for sending cards also. Yes. Thank you. Oh, wonderful. Amen. I'm glad the Lord saved you, brother. I appreciate you. Yes. Yeah. I've talked to Jim twice now, and he's some better, but his pink eye has given him a real tassel, a hassle, and mattering up and so forth, and he's a little better. So he seemed to appreciate your praying for him. Continue to pray for Jim. What else? Or who else? Yeah, get up. They may be a little therapy that I took. Some of it's very hard, brother. I know. So pray for Brother Tom as he takes therapy. They may put it to him. And you say, oh, they don't. Well, they want him to get well. Who else or what else? All right, let's go to prayer.